The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate that will be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." The Gospel of the Lord.
In name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I bring you greetings from Bishop Bruno and from Bishop-elect Taylor and from the entire diocesan staff. We're here to help you in any way we can. And as your area bishop, I'm always so happy to be here at St. Cross. I do want to let you know that my sermon is hinged on one line in the psalm, and you'll see where I'm going to go in a minute with this. Even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand hold me fast. Even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will hold me fast. So that hearkens a lot to what we heard this morning in the gospel about that image of Christ the Good Shepherd, because of course today is Good Shepherd Sunday. So there's something about being led, there's something about a hand extended, there's something about a shepherd where the sheep know the voice of the shepherd that calls the sheep, that leads the sheep. And as I was thinking about that and bridging this for this sermon today, this afternoon, I actually want to hearken back to this morning's gospel and readings, using that as my pivot. You know, that image of Christ as the Good Shepherd is meant to bring us comfort. The whole Psalm 23 is meant to bring us comfort. And I didn't fully understand what that meant, and I didn't fully understand what Christ as Christ the Good Shepherd could really be until I did a 100-mile hike from Melrose Abbey to Lindisfarne last summer. Actually, it was a year ago now, this week, that I was on this trek with my husband. So we started off in Melrose Abbey, and we had contracted with one of those companies that actually set everything up for you. You give them, you know, they have all of these walks listed for England, Scotland, Ireland, and Wales. And we wanted to do this one, which was called St. Cuthbert's Way. And it's because I'm such a big fan of St. Cuthbert, you have no idea. I could preach for about 2 hours on St. Cuthbert, but I'm not going to do that now. But I really wanted to walk in the footsteps of this bishop, this Celtic bishop that I just love. And so we did. And you contract with the company, and they actually set up the B&Bs that you're going to be staying at. So, you know, if you tell them how many days you want to walk, they set this whole thing up for you. And then they have a company, it's a Sherpa company, that picks up your luggage and takes it to the next place so that all you need is your backpack and your hiking poles, and you're golden, right? You don't have to worry about anything else, which was my kind of way to travel. Also, you know, I didn't want to stay in a youth hostel or a hostel or anything like that. We had to paddle down in the middle of the night to go piddle. No, I can't do that. I really wanted to be in a place with an ensuite bathroom that had a decent breakfast. You know, that was my call for the day. So we did, we walked. And what you need to know about that is when you're walking in places like England and Scotland, you're not going through national forests or anything like that. You're literally given a map that's kind of covered in a polyurethane or whatever it is to make it waterproof, because, you know, it rains there. And it rains there or mist there a lot. And you're given this map of where you're going. And there's all these markers that you have to follow, that you have to look for from the map. Right? It's kind of like a treasure hunt, but you're going from one place to another. And the thing is, you're walking through people's farms. You're walking through people's farms. And there's some rules. You're not allowed to go off the path. You're supposed to stay on the path, which normally hugs a fence of some kind, either a stone fence or a barbed wire fence. And you're not to leave any trash, and you're not to feed any of the animals. Because actually, in that part of Scotland, in that southern part of Scotland and that northern part of England, there are more sheep than there are people. And it was lambing season. So you can imagine, every day we saw hundreds and hundreds of lambs. It was amazing. But it never stopped me from craving lamb for supper. It's like, it was terrible. I mean, it was like, really, like, and it was, I would like to tell you, for as much as I was oohing and aahing over these lambs during the day, I was enjoying every bite at night. It was delicious. It was absolutely delicious. And at one point, my husband said, "Do you think you saw one of those lambs on the?" And I went, "Don't say it that way. Don't say it." Anyway, but it was wonderful. And what we noticed was, you know, some of the people that we encountered on the trip, you know, they were doing the same thing, maybe through the same company that we were going through or another company, and they were staying at basically the same B&Bs. And so you kind of got to know some of the people. Now, you all walked at your own pace because, you know, it's not like you're in a group walking. So it was just my husband and I. And sometimes for miles, we'd be all by ourselves, and it was glorious. And for hours, I wouldn't talk to him, which he might have thought was a blessing. But I, anyway... or I'd gently hum to myself or sing a hymn. And we'd stop along the way and read parts out of Cuthbert's book, out of a book about Cuthbert, and pray. We would stop and pray. And it was wonderful. But you know, there was this one evening where we met up with a bunch of these people that were also walking in the pub. And they were talking about their walk and how fast this one couple was doing the walk that we were going to be doing in 8 days. They were doing it in four. 4 days. You know, and we walked 100 miles in 8 days. Well, that was a schlep. And they tell you in Scotland, they were in the guidebook, that, you know, you're going to go up a hill. You know, it's not a hill, it's a mountain. You know, I wanted to, I don't know why they would call it a hill. It was not a hill. Anyway. I'm okay going up, but with bad knees, it's harder going down. Anyone that has bad knees knows exactly what I'm saying. So, anyway, this one couple, they were very braggy about, you know, how fast they were going. And I'm thinking, knock yourself out, you know? I wanted to take in every moment. I didn't think I'd ever be back there again. I probably won't ever go back and do that again. So I wanted to take in and enjoy every moment. And what ended up happening was this one morning, now as you start off in the morning from the B&B, you're usually walking along the road until you hit whatever Passover or whatever bridge or something that you've got to cross to enter into the farms, right? And so there were these three couples that had breakfast. We had breakfast, you know, in the same place. And they took off like a shot, you know, just, and they were one past us, you know, and another past us. As we were walking, and you know, I'm not a slow walker, but I'm just trying to savor all this moment. And you know, as they were passing us, I'm hearing in the distance this horrible bleating, bleating like a lamb or a sheep bleats, right? Isn't that the word, bleat? And so I'm hearing, but it's not like a normal, it's not a happy bleat, right? You can tell, it's like any parent can tell when a difference between a cry that's happy and a cry that's not happy. Right? We all know that, right? And so I'm hearing this and I'm thinking something is wrong, something up there is wrong, and I'm watching these people pass where I think the sound is coming from. And I said to Steve, my husband, I said, "Honey, I think something's happening up here." And so as we get to the part where it's really loud, I turn and there's an opening in the fence and you can see right through this little tiny lamb was caught in between two barbed wire fences that were about that far apart. And it couldn't move. It couldn't move. And its mother was standing right outside. So they were crying to each other. And I thought, I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know how to do this. Because I didn't know how the mother would react if I jumped the fence, well, crawled over the fence, and tried to pull this lamb out. And I didn't know how to pull it. How do you pull a lamb out, right? And so I thought, Lord, please, I need help. We need help. And thank God, there's a farmer from across the street. We had seen him drive his truck onto his property, and he was driving back out and coming our way. So we stood in the middle of the street and flagged him down, you know? It's like, how, you can't kind of miss me going like this. And so we told him what we found. And he says, well, that's not my land. And I said, and he says, but I'll see what I can do. So he crawled over the fence and gently got the lamb out. And then the lamb was reunited with its mother. And we were very grateful. And we kept on walking. And, you know, you don't get to see that. You don't get to feel that. So the other thing we saw as we were walking through farmland for 8 days was these people on three-wheeled vehicles. You know, one person on a three-wheeled vehicle, and they had a, it had a platform on the back, and there was usually a dog, D-O-G, dog, sitting on the platform, and it's going up a hill and down a hill, and the dog is, I don't know how the dog stayed on, up and down, and it was like, I'm like, and I'm watching the dog, it's going up, and the dog's going like this, but the dog hung on, and occasionally the person that was driving would whistle, and the dog would go off and do something, and whistle and come back on. So around noontime, by the time we got up to the top, that's when we were crossing literally from Scotland into England. And there's a, you know, there was a thing, you are now leaving Scotland, you are entering England. So we had to climb over a little, you know, thing to do that, little ramp. And so as we're sitting there on the Scottish side having our lunch, one of the couples that hightailed it really fast. And so this was about 3 hours later, right? All of a sudden, I see them coming down the opposite way. So we came up this way, which was the path. They're coming down this way. I could start to see them through the fog. I said, what happened? They said, we missed the turn. We were lost up there. And I went, it's because you went too fast. Anyway, I didn't say that. I thought it, though. I definitely thought it. So later on, as we come back down, you know, it was this amazing thing. So every 100 yards, 500 yards, my husband and I, he would stop. And we would just take a minute and look around. And so he would tell me that he was doing it for me because he knew I was getting winded. He was doing it for him. He was. But we both wanted to stop and look. So, you know, we're on this beautiful piece of property and we're walking along the fence. And we kept on stopping and just standing there, and we're taking pictures and just, you know, being so amazed at God's beauty. And then one of these guys on this three-wheeled vehicle comes tearing around the corner and comes driving up to us, turns off the vehicle, whistles, the dog gets down, does, I don't know where the dog went, I don't know what he told the dog to do, but the dog ran off somewhere. And he asked us who we were and where we were from, and we told him. He's the shepherd that owns this farm. And he was telling us that it used to be in lambing season, he'd have to have 8 or 10, sometimes 12 shepherds to work the land because everybody walked. You had to walk. And there's so much land, and you have to look for all the lambs, and you have to call to them, right? You have to look out for them and call to them, that he used to have to separate out, you know, you're going here, you're going there, you're going there. Now in the three-wheeled vehicle, now that they have this three-wheeled vehicle, you only need one shepherd. Can cover everything in a day. Because you have to do this every day during lambing season. You have to cover every inch of where you are. And then we're talking to him and he's explaining to us about being a shepherd, and he's like a third generation shepherd, and none of his kids want to do that, but they come out and help during lambing season. And he was talking to us about where they vacation and things that they do, and how sometimes just a picnic on the land is so refreshing for them. Right? And then as we got ready to go, we talked to him for probably half an hour. He said, thank you. I said, thank us? He said, thank you. He said, you know, I watched you. I watched you as you walked. You stopped. You took in the beauty. You looked at the animals. You didn't, of course, we didn't touch. It's in the rules. You don't touch. Don't feed, don't touch. But you took time. He said, you know, every day there are people walking on my property and they've got their heads down, they're going from point A to point B. They never lift their heads to see the beauty that's around us. But you stopped and looked. And he said, thank you. Thank you for seeing it. And he says, you know, on the weekends I probably have 200 people walking through my farm. because that's when you have more day hikers. Nobody stops. Nobody stops even to say hello to me when I'm standing there. It's as if I'm not there. And as we walked away, I said to my husband, I said, I get what being the good shepherd means. It really means about being present to where people are and what's going on with them and what they need. It means being able to see and hear where people are and calling to them when they go astray. It means not being afraid to take 5 minutes to make sure somebody's life is a little bit better. And Christ as the Good Shepherd is always calling us to follow, is always offering Christ's hand to guide and lead us. But we've got to be willing to open our eyes to see, open our ears to hear, open our hearts to love, and to share that love and care for all those that we meet. Because while I might have the crozier that looks like a shepherd's hook, which it's supposed to look like, we're all shepherds. Or at least we're supposed to be. Because we've got to help the good shepherd do his job. Amen.